There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is David Moyes.
This is Jaap Stam.
This is Ryan Fraser.
This is Troy Deeney.
This is Adam Lallana.
This is Jurgen Klopp, and you're listening to The Big Interview with Graeme Hunter.
Look, we make the leap now, Harry, because training in general, particularly at elite clubs, is so different now than what you described at Leeds, what you came through. An environment that helped you, that you patently enjoyed, you've still spoken about with great affection and enjoyment. But the whole idea now is that footballers, probably correctly, get treated like racehorses. It's everything to make them fit, fine-tuned, mentally ready. There are flare-ups at training grounds and bounce matches and all that. That's fine. However, is it almost a 180-degree picture from what you described to where you're working now, where it's evident? I'm going to have to praise you, I'm sorry, but we've seen Maeda talking about, I mean, the words he uses for your ability to teach and convince and show, which are phenomenal traits for a coach to have. He talks about coming to Celtic and didn't see any chances for him at all. Then he talks about you stopping, saying, this is what you're like, this is what you should be doing. Talking about individual meetings, accompanying to training. Don't worry about making mistakes, just keep trying. That sort of professorial teaching process, which I think is akin to teaching your kid maths in lockdown, where it's like detail and focus and all that. That's so far away from what you grew up in, isn't it?
Not personally with me, because when I grew up, I had a coach similar. So he broke everything down for me. And I don't know whether it's kind of installed in me. So, for example, striking a ball. I can teach someone that's never struck a ball before, I could teach him how to strike a ball. Mm-hmm. And now I could just say, go and strike a ball. Then I could break it down. Then if you can't do that, I'll break it down again. I could break it down to the point where I could actually get him stand still and go through, because that's how I got taught. And I don't know how it's just kind of broken down for me as a youngster, how I got taught that I've remembered it. Wow. And been able to see it. And like I said, I even when I played, I see a lot of things. But because I'm up here and I work with the attackers, I look at their individual movement patterns. And like I said, that's how I broke my things down. And when you see traits of what you could do or they do, and again, it's not about, you know, comparing yourself to them, because no player wants to hear about you. It's about them, right? You can only talk to them because they do like stories, because you just can't want to tell them, you know, facts and all this, that and that, because they'll get bored. But if you tell them a story that goes with it, they'll listen to it. And when you speak to the players, it's just about trying to get them what's the best movement for them, because their best movement may not be my best movement. But if I'm trying to teach them, mm-hmm. because the one thing I constantly say to when parents come up to me, or when I was coaching at a younger level, oh, you know, you'd ask a player, or a player would go, oh, my favourite player is Messi, I want to be the next Messi. It's like, you can't be the next Messi, because you don't have his traits. One, you're 6 foot, right? He's not, right? Two, you've got different running patterns, different stuff. Be the best person you could be. And I think that's what helped me as a youngster. When people used to go, oh, who's your favourite player? I'd be like, no one. They'd be like, no one. I want to be my favourite player. So I want to work on myself. And I don't get when people want to compare themselves to other players, because they've got nothing. You've got to get the best out of what you get. And that's when I look at Dizan or Jota or Haxa or Abada, I look at them and I look at what are they great at, and let's work on that. Mm-hmm. And then that's when you sit down, and after you get a certain amount of games under it, you can see patterns. Mm-hmm. And once you see them patterns, you work it out there. And then when you work it out there, and we go back to even when you talked about the United lot, and even with Leeds, you know, training has to be harder. Mm-hmm. Training has to be harder. And I always go, it's like working on the West End, right? You look at them performers, right? When they're building up to a show, they're working every single day, and they're working hard. That when they go out on the Saturday show, they know their line's perfect. And they can put a smile on their face because they're that confident in their job to go out there and put on the best show. There's no difference as a footballer. You work hard during the week, get everything right, scoring goals, getting past people, feeling good. You walk out on that pitch on Saturday thinking, well, I've scored 100 goals in training. I've gone past my defender 50 times. I am ready to take on this person.
There's nothing here that worries me.
Nothing here that worries me because I'm ready personally. It's when you don't do it, you know, and we go even back to what you just said there about the whole thing about training and aspect. And you talk about their racehorses. They are, right? But, and I was only speaking this to the other day with one of the fitness guys. And sometimes, because I'm back in the old school, I'm like, no, we've got to work out there. We've got to work out. But you've got to think about the amount of games that these guys play as well. You know, and they have to eat right. They have to sleep right. They have to recover right. Because we talked about our seasons. We'd sometimes play 40 games and everyone go, oh my God, 40 games in a season? Wow, that's huge back in the day. Now they're playing up to 60. And then they get a week off and then they're back into preseason again. And then they're playing again. So I think the whole off-field eating, recovering and all that kind of stuff, I think that is so important. But the one thing that you don't want to do is to, you still want to allow them to have the freedom to think out there, mm-hmm. you know, because that's what football is. It's about, because if you play completely to a structure, right, you play completely to a structure, everyone will work it out and they'll go, well, this is what they do in a structure. You've got to be able to let players decide when they're out there what they can do to change a game. And it's very hard. It's very hard because we have a lot of managers out there that, you know, very structural in how they want to do it. But if you have a manager that goes, hey, this is how I want to do it here, but you've got to be
within
free
these
enough,
parameters, yeah? My rules, at this, in this situation, in a breakdown, in a transition, when you reach that mark,
you've got to be able
yourself.
To make your
show
own
yourself.
Decision. You've got to be able, because if you have that decision made for you, then, you know, people will figure it out. But if you've been out there and been able to change it, then you'll always make opposition question.
I really liked two things in what Deshimeda said. Making mistakes. For the little I know of the Japanese culture, that might have been partly what you inherit, what you live through, that can be dishonourable. But also, he said a really interesting thing, but because he was a good player, good athlete, he didn't think he had to watch football. You've taught him, you've shown him things. I like the process, and I'm not trying to say that the other coaches aren't doing the same. I'm not trying to say Harry over Alice. But he specifies that you're the best educative coach that he's ever had in football. That process of being able to get inside somebody's head, understand maybe where there's a little bit of misunderstanding or misapprehension, and then correct it, I'd imagine that must be immensely satisfying.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm blushing. I mean, when he had wrote that, I was like, wow, that's very nice, because as a player, you're doing it on the pitch, you know what I mean? And don't get me wrong, don't think that I never had help. I had a coach back in Australia that used to send me videos when I went through bad times, and I used to go be able to talk to him, and he'd get me back on track again, you know? So, and the one thing I suppose as well that some of these players may forget is that in my career, I've been at the top, but I've also been down the bottom, and I've also had to work my way back up again. So I know what it takes. But again, it goes back to that thing about David Batty. Simple. You know, finding out what you're good at. And again, if you can adjust. And I'd have to say with Dizan, he's a very good listener and learner. So what you say to him, like, he'll listen and he'll take it on board. And even when I have my meetings with my players, it's not about, I'm the coach, you're the player, you listen to what I say. No. We're just in an environment to have a chat. Like, if I'm going to say something that can be completely wrong, but I want to see if you pick up on it, because that means you're going to be confident enough to be able to go, hang on, sorry, I don't agree with that, right? And then I know that they're listening. because otherwise, as you sit there and they just go, yep, yep, okay, yeah, yeah. And then by the time, like, half the time, people don't want to go into meetings because they just want to go do their other things.
That's a high stress situation, because if you put a little decoy in there and they don't pick up and they don't say anything, your opinion of them goes down, and then you're going to have to tick them off.
No. It's just like,
I will
question it. I'll go, you sure about that? And then they'll, okay. And then they'll think about it. But like I said, my first question I'll always say to my players is, what did you think? And like at the start, they were shy. Now, I mean, I could spend an hour here with Jota. You know, and we won't even start with the video, and we'll be talking about it. And then, like I said, certain players have to have a certain demand, you know, and if you're an attacker, you have to be quite demanding, you know. And I even got to the point where I even rang Ian Hart. I said, Hartie, what was I like as a player? He goes, I just gave you the ball. And, you know, I said, but was I demanding? He goes, yeah, you were demanding, but that's what you want. You know, and so some of these players, again, maybe they're shy because they're still young.
Some of them are quite young.
Yeah, they're still young, and you know they're playing in a very, like, one of the biggest clubs in the world. So the pressure as well. And I even go back to even with, like, my first impressions, you know, in Scotland, you think, Celtic, Rangers, you know, they dominate the league and all this. I think, okay, when I then being here, the amount of pressure is on the Celtic team to win every day. It's tough. I mean, a draw is not good enough, you know. But we deliver that every day in training. We put pressure on them in training to deliver that. So, and the manager puts pressure on us to make sure that we're delivering the sessions that he wishes. And then when that goes out there, the players are ready for it.
See, there's one of my comparisons, because life's moved on. And for however entertaining it was to live that Leeds training ground, and I'm trying to identify that dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of more training grounds were similar, if not identical. Yep. That sort of rabid ferocity, that physical ferocity, and those challenges, take that, son, they've been ironed out of training grounds, and you almost can't allow that to go. So you have to find a way to replace that intensity and ferocity.
Look, I'm different, I suppose, because, again, I go back to, if you're fighting Monday to Friday, right, that means your body's going to be ready for the fight on Saturday. If you're taking it nice and easy, hey, this, that's fine, da, 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 no, don't be screaming, don't be shouting, don't be doing that. Coming into the weekend and then you're asking your players to go into war, it's hard. It's hard to change that mentality. So I think you've got to have something.
I think my question is, what's the... It's not the identical thing that causes the spirit, because largely you're not doing what Hopkins said. But there has to be something that... Is it personal demands? Is it...
You got to also underthink as well, even in football, I mean, even to the ones back when we started, like, even if you signed a contract, right, for 5 years, normally three players would stay there 3-4 years, right? Nowadays, you could sign a contract for 5 years, you'd be out the door in 6 months. You know, so it's trying to build a culture that's tough as well. So you usually find if there's a team that has a good core of 12 to 14 players, and you get, that's when you get that kind of...
They pass it on to every guy that walks in the door.
Because you've got enough people in there to drive the sessions and to drive that. So I always hear, and you always try to get these meetings with other culturals and other sporting... And they go, and the one thing I don't understand, especially in Australia, like AFL and rugby, oh, we got this team bond, we got that. And I always point out, I go, why don't you create that in football? I said, man, you guys sign for a club and you're there for 12 years. So that person is there, unless he's a superstar, and very rarely they move on. Oh. But they're there for virtually their whole career.
Okay.
So they can be involved in that whole setup for 12 years. I said, as a footballer, you could be there for 1 year, you could go to another club, then another club, then another club, and you could be chopping and changing.
Each one with a completely different culture.
Completely different culture. So I find it difficult. So again, this is where you get that kind of individual kind of footballer that has to make sure he does his job properly, then fits in with the rest. Otherwise, it's very hard.
Before we move to Liverpool, I'm sorry, I'm going to embarrass you with more praise. Liam McLaughlin, one of our socios who supports us. Morning, G. Welcome to Glasgow. As a Celtic season ticket holder, the improvement we all see, particularly in Maeda, but also Abada. It's unbelievable this season. Maeda technically came on barrel loads. Abada's now standing men up 1v1 and more often than not getting the better of his man. We suspect Harry is to credit for this. Are we correct? I think we've answered that question. I'm not going to put you on the spot. You can certainly answer it if you want.
No, look,
sharing the praise because you deserve it.
Yeah, but again, we're a team here.
Yeah.
We all work together. And again, this is not just about me doing it. It's just that again, you know, that's what I was born and bred on, is taking defenders on. And I just, it's actually easier for these guys to take players on than to feel my wrath after the game if they haven't taken it on. Okay? So they're actually learning to actually, you know what? I'm taking them on.
On my tombstone.
I'm taking.
We fucking just did what he asked us to because he's a pain in the arse. Because if I can write that on my tombstone.
Because if I don't, I'm going to be getting in the
ear. Any recognition, man?
I like I said, every
I love
time,
it. I love it.
When I'm on the videos and they pass the ball back, I put a thing, I go, what the hell? Again, what the hell? And they're like,
very good.
And then they go, I know. And they know when it's coming up, they go, I know, I don't need to look at it, I know. Yes, yeah, so I said, well, what are you thinking there?
Man, you'd have made a good teacher. I mean, you wouldn't have earned much money, but you'd have made a good teacher. You really, you genuinely would have done. It's 12 of 23, 11 years since you scored twice against Brisbane Roar in a 3-2 defeat to an Ange Postecoglou team. He was the one that was tasked by your federation about changing the era, and you and a number of guys didn't get selected anymore for the national team. From what you understand of him now, what brought you two together again? What made him say, that fella?
Well, I don't know. I mean, look, I suppose we go back to the Australian thing, and when he took over, I mean, again, the one thing with the manager, he'll tell you to your face. Mm. And I love that. Whether you're a player for him or you're playing not for him, doesn't matter. As long as the manager will tell you to your face, you're happy, right? You might be happy with the outcome, but you think, fair enough, at least he's told me.
And his words need to stand the test of time. They don't need to blow away in the wind.
No, they don't need to blow away. And yeah. I remember we went for a coffee in Melbourne, and it was, well, short and sharp, because he really got to the point. You know, I'm not selecting you for the Australian team. You know, he gave me his reasons. And, you know, I was gutted. There's no question about it. Yeah. But I just thought, okay, fine. And I didn't really want to stay there much longer. And I think he didn't. So we kind of left at that. And I thought, okay, well, maybe that was it. You know, and you know, I shook his hand, said, thank you, congratulate you. Well, you know, good luck with everything. And I think he'd done an exceptional job with the Australian team. And I think he's worked hard to get to where he's got to, you know, because his path's been up and down, but recently it's been a lot of ups.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I had originally just got the Barnet job, and I was working down there, and then obviously things happened there. And then in the summertime, I was talking to a club, and then let's just say I was talking to the club on Monday, then I received a text message off the manager, and I was taken back of what he said. It was just one of the nicest messages that I've ever read from a manager to a young coach.
Okay.
And I remember showing my wife. And my wife was looking, she said, well, what? I said, well, there's nothing like, you know. I said, I'm going to ring him. So I rang him, and he spoke to me. He told me that he'd love for me to join up. He knows the difficulties that I've been through. He's kept an eye on me. Didn't know that. So he had known what I'd been up to. He knows what I'd like, what I didn't like. And he just said, I think this would be a good environment for you to come in and see, to work with a great team, to be able to get back to where you belong. And I was blown away. I didn't know. I was like, okay, yeah. And I remember just, I'll get back to you, right? Like, literally, I'll get back to you in a couple of days. And he goes, yeah, no problem, take time, da-da-da-da. And it's left, okay. And I said to my wife, I said, well, this is like, it's nothing. I'm taking this job because the way he spoke was enough for me to say, yeah, I just didn't want to make him sound too eager. You know, I just had to make him wait a little bit. But I was ready to say yes then straight away. And then I remember going through everything and everything was sorted. And I just wanted to come up here and, again, be part of a winning team. But the winning mentality, you know, of what he is. And I've heard a lot of stories about the manager, but they're stories. And it's nice to get your own picture, your own ideas. And I think personally there's two sides to him. One is the manager. He's very strict, very, you know, he likes the way things are run, and he's very intense with the way he wants, and I like that. Mm-hmm. And I felt that coming in here, it's going to take me a couple of weeks to learn, ideas and all that kind of stuff. Within 2 days, I understood it. Because that's how clear his messages are.
Hmm.
You know, they're not. There's no black or white. It's just grey. Just straight. There's no new side. It's just black. Let's just say it's just black. That's the way we're playing. That's how it is. This is what I want. And I was like, oh, this is pretty easy. Like coming into it. But then there's the other side of him where he's like a father. You know, he's got that personality to joke around, and very rarely, you know what I mean? Because like I said, but when you do catch him on them times, he's just a generally a nice person to talk to, and they're the people that you want to work for.
Mm.
You know, as much as he's intense as a manager and all that, he's genuinely a good human being, and they're the ones that you want to work for.
In football, is that slightly rare?
For me, like I said, I've only been a manager. This is the first time I've been a coach, so I've working for managers is different, I suppose, because then you work for someone, so you've got to try and figure out what they're like.
Yeah.
So again, this is the first time there again, but like I said, He's generally a nice person, but first and foremost.
My point is football. I'm really asking more of a question about football because it's rare. And in all my interviews, which go beyond this, I've been doing this for 30 years. You don't often hear somebody say he's genuinely a good person. Often you'll say that by somebody who's been treated badly by the game. The game teaches you to be duplicitous to survive. I'm not putting words in your mouth.
100%.
It's a brutal, nasty industry as much as we love it. It's rare to hear somebody say that and about somebody successful, in my opinion.
I think that comes, again, from him wanting to help. Like I said, he's confident enough in his ability that he's sitting there, well, I can help.
Mm.
I think it's when people are maybe not confident enough, they want to kind of, hey, I want to protect this, I want to protect that.
No question.
I said, if you're confident enough in your ability, like I said, I'm very open. Right, I like arguments. I like to be able to fight about questions and all that, but I don't know all the answers. There's no question about it. And if someone in my group has the right answer and it's right for that, I would go with that. You know, I don't like sharing, like training session. I remember speaking to the JK the other day.
Good man.
And he had to put a session on plan, this, that, and I said, why do people do that? He goes, oh, well, you just put it out there, you share it, and I says, yeah, but these are the secrets of what you do.
Yeah.
And I don't get it. I don't get it. He goes, oh, well, you know, I don't mind because someone can use it, but I use it for something different. The game's cut up so much now anyway, right? Everyone's always looking at it, and we have enough people here watching this, that, and the other. I just think there's moments, whether you're putting on the right thing, whether you're just giving them a blow-away kind of session, I get that. But I think it's nice to have certain things that are kept in within your own kind of home.
Last section before you hit the road. I was at Real Madrid against Liverpool, second leg, working the other week, and at the end of it, Real Madrid put on You'll Never Walk Alone, because when they played at Anfield in the first leg, the 5-2 game, sorry about that, it's still wee for you, isn't it, Liverpool,
when you talk as a fan.
Amancio, the president, had died, and Liverpool had just been utterly brilliant about recognising that. So at the end of the second leg there, Real Madrid just went straight to You'll Never Walk Alone. And the Real Madrid fans stood up and applauded. And gestures of respect like that are very unusual in football.
Well, I think that's two great clubs coming together.
That's what Madrid
respect.
Felt.
I think two clubs that respect each other, two big European clubs.
It's the right thing to do, isn't it?
Of course it is. I think we're starting to see that now with a lot of clubs now respecting it. You know, a lot of things that are happening with certain players, certain clubs, and I think that's nice.
Listen, as an Aberdeen fan, I'm not going to get all fucking lush.
I'm glad,
but as a Liverpool fan and a Celtic employee, you like that music.
What, You'll Never Walk Alone?
Yeah,
I love it.
Inspirational.
You know what? When I first heard it at Liverpool, when I went there as an opposition for Leeds, yeah, didn't even hear it because I was focusing, right? Just not even like that. And it was like, mate, I'm there to do a job. I'm not there to be listening and looking around, right? And it never, like when I went to Anfield as a player against Liverpool, he'd be like, well, I'm here to do my job. I don't care. Like, and I don't get when people go to stadiums and go, oh my God, this is Anfield.
A lot of people do that, yeah.
I don't get it. It's like, well, take that away. You're still 11 against 11 on a green pitch. Just do your job. Don't worry about what they is because they could be fans of your home team. Just concentrate on your job, all right? If you score, they're either going to boo or they're going to cheer. Don't really matter. But then when I went as a Liverpool player, it's not hard to notice it when you're in the tunnel, and especially when we had the tight tunnel, you'd hear it, and that's when I started to hear it properly, you know. And it was lovely because then you could go out and appreciate it, and you'd have that moment where you could look up at the Kop end and see it and just go, oh yeah, revel. And then I realised what other players must feel, because I used to speak to players on the park and go, I mean, why aren't you playing? And they'd be like, oh man, we're at Anfield. You know, we're happy to take a draw, right? So then when I've come to Celtic Park and I first heard it, because I haven't heard it for a long time, especially at the start of the season, I heard it, it was like, wow. I remember hearing it, and I was like, and hearing 60,000 people sing it is fantastic. And I kind of put myself in one of the Celtic players and the opposition, and I could see the opposition going, oh my God, this is quite intimidating, you know. But I would love that. I would love that.
How's your voice? If you sung it at karaoke, would you carry it off?
Probably after
a couple of washes. Nice glass of red.
Yes.
Spanish probably, yes. Wine, for example.
Yeah.
To what extent have you enjoyed those Klopp years as a fan, and now they're talking beyond your professional employment at Celtic now? And for example, as his squad stands now, where would your best front three in a Klopp team right now be, given all of the options that he's got to work with? Because it's a little bit like you're listing off the lads at Leeds. Choosing well is not easy.
I know, look, everyone's having a go at him, right? And I just think Liverpool going through a transition stage. I mean, they've been one of the best clubs in Europe for the last 5 years, right? They've been phenomenal.
Yeah.
And you've seen them just grow up. I mean, making finals and semi-finals and going for trophies, it takes its toll, right? And everyone knows there has to be a changeover of guard. And I think that's what's happening now. Mm. And don't forget, we're missing one or two important players as well. I mean, Luis Diaz is been out, and I know he's only coming back. And
yeah.
I'm a huge fan of Jota.
Yeah.
I think he's fantastic. I mean, Salah just speaks for himself.
So if there's a three, Salah has to be in it.
Not yet.
He speaks for himself, but
I love Nunes. I think he's fantastic. I know a lot of people are out there a question, but I think there's something there. And I believe when you hear what Klopp says, what he does in training, it's just not coming off for him yet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's getting his shots away, and it's just, we're talking, you know, a couple of centimetres here or there, mm-hmm. left or right, and they're going in, and except it's just nicking the keeper and they're making the saves. I think there is going to be a change. And I will probably be, and this is terrible for me for saying this, because he has been like the God. He is the God, you know, and there was only one God at Liverpool, Robbie Fowler. Now I think there's a new one with Mo Salah. You know, I think what he's done is phenomenal. But sometimes there needs to change. I mean, I'm a big fan of Diaz, like I just said. I think he's fantastic. And I love Jota. And I like to see Nunes. I think they could be the next three that are coming up. When that happens, that's up to the manager, because Mo Salah is still an unbelievable player. But I think he generally, when these players get fully fit, he's generally going to be tested.
Complete license now. This is hypothetical. Complete
hypothetical.
In the best of the Klopp era, in which position does Harry Kewell play?
I'm left side.
I'm picking
left
side, you.
Left side.
Left of the front three.
Yeah, left of the front three.
Coming inside, going outside?
No, look, I'm not a big believer of coming inside. I would just be on the outside, whipping them balls in.
And therefore, my question is, you wouldn't do the modern fashion?
No, I don't.
Inverted?
I don't like that.
Tell me why. Explain why.
I'll tell you the perfect reason why is because I felt I could do that. until I got told by one of my favourite coaches, Frank Reichardt. And he told me a story once. He goes, "Have you ever seen a cheetah run?" Right? I don't know if you ever heard the story, no. Right? And I remember him pulling me up at Galatasaray, and he was sitting there going, "Have you ever seen a cheetah run?" And he goes, "If you ever see a cheetah run in full motion, his tail's up." And that's the balance, okay. Right? So as he's running left, right, he's chopping change, he's trying to catch it, but he's actually got his tail to balance. He goes, "That's you on the left side."
Wow.
And I looked at it, he goes, "When I see you on the right side," he goes, "the cheetah's running with his tail between his legs." And I went, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah." And I went, "Oh, okay." And I went, and when he goes, "Yeah, you're just not balanced enough." Because and he's right, because I wasn't Iron Robin, where Iron Robin was, yeah. I think he was the best player to be able to cut inside and shoot. And I think everyone saw that and thought, "That's what I want to do."
Yeah.
Right? But there's only one of him. And I was more of an assist person than a goal scorer myself. So, and when he had said that in a way, I went back to my original. Like I said, sometimes you need a reset of a coach or something to be able to reset you. And I went back to that and I started to enjoy myself again because I was doing things that were natural to me. Instead of being able to come inside and think, "Oh, I've got to play a little 1-2 or this," where I was like, "Well, no, I don't have to come inside and play a 1-2. I could come inside and play a 1-2, but the ball was coming in there, then I could shoot across goal or I just take my player on." So when he had said that, I felt, for me, if I was to play in any team now, it would be high left.
And was your tail, this is the last one, I think, your tail up or down, and had you come from the right or left, and Riker might have been the coach, when you scored the header in the Super Cup final for Gala.
Coming from the left. I remember I just came on. I remember coming on there like that, and I remember making a run around the corner there like that, stopped there for about half a second. We ended up playing the ball, coming there. Hassan Sass went down the wing. He'd done his little Cruyff cut, and then he just remembered clipping it back. And I say this to my players all the time. I said, and I try to get their distance right, because me running onto a ball is a lot easier than me just being in a position standing, jumping. And a right back, if he's in the right position, he'll be covering the far post, mm-hmm. around about 6-yard box. Now, if you're 10 yards off that, running onto a ball, he's standing, jumping from a standstill position. I'm running and jumping. Mm-hmm. There's no way he's going to beat me in the air. And usually you'll be able to get in front of him and you'll be able to score. And I remember that ball just coming up there, and I remember the fullback going, "Oh yeah, I've got this," and all of a sudden I've just leapt from about 5 yards away and just come over the top of him and scored. But it's the only way to come onto balls, is to come onto them, not to stand still.
Celtic have signed themselves a very interesting, very astute coach. This has been pure pleasure. It's good to talk to one of life's, in Frank Rijkaard's words, cheetahs, A-A-H at the end, cheetah. Thank you for being so generous and sharing your knowledge with us. This has been really enjoyable. Harry, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Magic.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.